In the outskirts of a European city, Bosco performs a ritual, burying fruit and pouring liquor as an offering to the Lao spirits, praying for strength on his journey. A brutal massacre rips through an African village. In slow motion, we witness unspeakable violence, homes burned, plus lives lost. In the midst of the chaos, a young man sprints through the smoke and gunfire. He doesn't look back. As he disappears into the horizon, the title appears, The Refugee. Bosco, a war survivor now fleeing the nightmares of his past, embarks on a long journey that takes him across borders in search of peace, refuge, and redemption. This search leads him to the cold, isolating environment of Europe, where he finds himself caught in a web of isolation and paranoia. He arrives in Europe, but the cold, quiet land only deepens his loneliness. An interaction with a homeless man offering unsolicited advice leaves him only further disillusioned. He drifts from train stations to empty roads, avoiding contact with others, too wary to trust. However, his will and fortune remain fixed. Going forward is the only goal. Far away, in a forgotten European village nestled deep in the countryside, where gossip and superstition still rule, a recent scandal has rattled the community. A grieving widower named Carl remarried too quickly after the death of his wife. His new bride, whom he finds on the internet through a mail-order agency, is Grace, a kind and graceful African woman who arrives in the village with hopes of a better life. But when she mysteriously falls ill from a virus, the village turns on her. Whispers of witchcraft spread like wildfire. The villagers, relentlessly steered by a woman named Elsie, desperate to avoid scandal and protect their reputation, lock Grace away in a basement, out of sight, out of mind. She dies there, alone, afraid, and full of rage. Her unjust death curses the village. This cruel act of selfish self-preservation sets off the dark curse that haunts and decimates the small village. Bosco finally stumbles into this very village. He sits on a weathered bench as Grace appears, performing a strange water ritual. She is dressed in traditional African clothing and walks through the deserted streets, sprinkling water and softly humming an ancient song. She sings in an ancient tongue. When she encounters Bosco, she studies him carefully before welcoming him with kind eyes and a warm smile. You belong here. Drawn by something, a need, perhaps even destiny, Bosco stays. Not far off, Mickey, a muscle-bound, cocky former city cop, now stuck in the countryside, is lost and frustrated when he spots Bosco. Craving action and determined to prove his worth, Mickey chases him through the woods. But Bosco moves like a shadow, quickly finding a safe vantage point. Mickey loses him, crashing through the woods with brute force and energy, like a truck, cursing under his breath. Bosco finds his fate staring him toward a mysterious villa on the edge of the forest. Bathed in seductive moonlight, the villa seems to call to him with an otherworldly attraction, as though it holds the secrets to both salvation and redemption. The building is old, but still in good shape, its walls covered in Celtic markings, broken talismans, and strange symbols. After discovering a makeshift campsite in the attic, Bosco starts to get comfortable with his surroundings. In the echoing silence of the woods, the empty halls and dusty rooms of the villa, he gathers what he can to survive and protect himself as he builds up his new home. He sets traps, simple alarms, and gathers supplies from the abandoned homes in the nearby village. The villa becomes both his sanctuary and refuge. His journey becomes a desperate fight, not only for survival, but also for a chance at redemption, with his mind torn between the brutality of his past and the hope for a new start. On some days and nights, the shadows move on their own and flicker into strange shapes as the wind whispers his name. Bosco tries to ignore it. It's all in his head. To survive, he must forgive himself. He must heal. Bosco's days blur into one another as he lives off the land, in the best place to avoid people, an abandoned villa in an abandoned village. He scavenges food and supplies as he carefully expands his knowledge of his surroundings, setting a network of traps and makeshift alarms. However, strange things keep happening. Voices in the wind, dreams that feel like memories, and strange shapes darting through the trees as the boundaries between the natural and the supernatural dissolve. Elsie, driven to religion by her guilt, is convinced her final purpose is to return to the village and clean up the mess she made. The death of her husband, an event that seals her loneliness with everyone she knows now dead, is the final sign. She packs up what she needs and boards a rickety bus for the village. Deep in the forest, Bosco stumbles upon a horrific sight. The mutilated body of Jimmy, a famous YouTuber who had come to the village for content. Jimmy's corpse lies next to a chained cauldron marked with occult symbols. The scene is grotesque. Bosco suspects a beast, but beasts don't frighten him. He's faced far worse from humankind. Nothing will stop him from protecting his fragile claim to peace. Battle ready, Bosco rushes back to the villa and strengthens his defenses. More traps, protective charms, and recently learned voodoo rituals. Still, a lingering fear grows in the back of his mind. Soon after, Mickey reappears in the woods. He's investigating, and the trail of traps and alarms he stumbles upon only confirms his suspicions. Bosco, tracking the intruder, witnesses Mickey being torn apart by something unseen, a flash of fury. An event that further proves to Bosco that he is not alone in these woods. Bosco returns to the villa to get battle ready. It's now or never. But when Bosco returns later to the scene of the crime, Mickey's body is gone. In similar fashion, the monster attacks Bosco. It's fast and violent, more shadow than flesh. He's brutally injured, barely making it back to the villa. Bloodied and weak, he tends to his wounds and collapses. He wakes, tied to a bed in the attic. Elsie, the elderly villager, chants prayers over him. It's an exorcism. In a surreal haze where dreams bleed into reality, the exorcism triggers a confession through violent visions of Bosco's past, child soldiers, fire, torture, and guilt. The room shakes, the shadows morph menacingly, but Elsie keeps praying. Bosco embraces the end. When Bosco wakes again, he's free. His wounds are bandaged, but the house is violently shaking from the unseen forces outside. Bosco, still wounded but driven, drags himself through the villa, scrambling to hold back whatever horrors are clawing at the outside. Elsie offers no help, only words, preaching as the house trembles around them. Through the chaos, Elsie finally reveals the village's dark secret during a moment of fragile connection. They've always feared outsiders, but feared scandal even more. Grace paid the price, sealed away like a shameful secret, a mistake in her history that has now become her destiny to correct. And now, through what Elsie calls an act of God, it's a fate she and Bosco must share. Elsie proclaims Bosco's new purpose. Only by releasing Grace's spirit can they begin to heal their broken souls. She offers it as a path to redemption, an offer too meaningful for Bosco to turn away. With new resolve, he agrees, not just for Grace, but for himself. One step closer to burying the past, and maybe, just maybe, saving what's left of his own soul. Redemption. The storm rages. The sky darkens. Bosco and Elsie descend into the basement. There they find the chained remains of Grace. Her spirit appears, screaming, "You cannot be saved." The air turns cold. The lights flicker. Grace vanishes. Elsie pleads for the proper burial of the cursed soul. Outside, Elsie prays with fierce determination as Bosco watches, entranced as the flames dance. Victory. Maybe. Suddenly the vessels pop open, and the fire is sucked into the air, vanishing as if consumed by something unseen. The cursed village finally shows its true face. Spirits rise from the darkness to encircle the villa and Bosco. Then comes the creature, a hideous beast stitched together from the village's guilt, sins, and cowardice. It moves like rotten shadow, eyes full of hate. Bosco, hardened by war and burdened by regret, steels himself with grim resolve. Like a soldier on his final mission, he steps outside the villa, standing tall and defiant as he faces down the lead spirit. Worn, bloodied, and unbowed, the spirit rises before him, but he doesn't flinch. Not this time. Armed only with his knife and raw determination, he faces the monstrosity. The fight is brutal. He's blinded before being torn apart. But he never backs down, always getting up until he is finally kept down and devoured completely, leaving no trace behind. The villagers vanish. The monster recedes into the forest. Silence falls as the skies open with rain, an act of self-cleansing. In the final image, a peaceful village comes into view, bathed in gentle light. A lone figure, dressed in traditional African clothing, walks through the deserted streets, sprinkling water and softly humming the ancient song Grace once sang. He sings in an ancient tongue. Bosco's fate is unclear, yet his new role as the village's guardian is silently affirmed. His redemption lingers in the quiet wind.